We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome into the LakersNation.com podcast. I am Trevor Lane, and it is game day. We've got Lakers, Hawks today. I know. Some of you right now probably thinking, oh God, here we go again. Another Lakers game, another chance to get hurt. I know Lakers Nation, how we're all feeling right now, but this is a good opportunity for a win. Again, the Lakers taking on a kind of mid-tier Atlanta Hawks team. Good possibility the Lakers can get a win tonight. Game's going to be happening at 7:30 Pacific time. We will be live over on Playback, playback.tv/LakersNations, where you can come watch the game with us or hang out with us on the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, youtube.com/LakersNation. You can get our play-by-play there. By the way, if you're watching this on the YouTube channel right now, do us a favor, hit the subscribe button and that thumbs up, the like, hit that as well. We sure would appreciate that. Subscribe, even if you're frustrated with the Lakers right now, subscribe to the channel. Because we're going to keep you up to date on all of the happenings going on in the offseason, everything that's going to be coming up. Big, big summer coming up for the Lakers. I'm going to keep you in the know on everything. Joining me on the show, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see him. He's here. Sean Davis. Sean, how you doing?
Doing good, Trev. Glad to be back on. Didn't fall asleep this time, so yay. but yeah, excited to talk about this Lakers squad, even though they're at times not fun to talk about.
Sean's referencing the last show that he was supposed to be on, which was a few nights ago. And I text him and said, hey, you know, are you ready? You still good for the show? just nothing. And I'm like, he's asleep. Yeah, turned into a solo show. But glad Sean is on here for this one. We've got plenty to talk about tonight on this one. But by the way, the Hawks right now. It happens. Right now, the Hawks are beating the Clippers fairly handily as we're recording this. It's just about the end of the third quarter right now, and DeJounte Murray is having a pretty nice outing for Atlanta right now. They're also shooting 52% from three. So my hope, Sean, is that they're burning out all of those makes right now in this game. And tomorrow night, when they take on the Lakers, they will not still have those in the chamber.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully they got all their shots up tonight, and hopefully DeJounte Murray is like, you know what? I'm going to take the night off tomorrow. Kobe Bufkin, I think he actually might be hurt. Maybe I'm wrong. But you know, Kobe Bufkin, all the young guys, go ahead, go nuts. But you know, I'm going to miss this one, and you guys, you know, go lose by 20. So hopefully that's what happens tomorrow night.
Yeah, no Kobe Bufkin tonight for the Hawks right now. Yeah, so this is going to be an interesting game, I think, for the Lakers tonight. We'll get into that in just a moment. We'll break down the whole game and kind of what we need to see. By the way, this would be the worst possible outcome, Sean, is if, given the current state, the mental state right now of Lakers Nation, of Lakers fandom, the worst possible outcome would be the Lakers lose to the Hawks, and DeJounte Murray has a great game, and Austin Reeves, D'Lo, they play horribly. That would just be, oh man, that would be brutal. So let's hope that's not what happens.
DeJounte goes for 35. The Lakers lose by 10, and Austin Reeves and D'Lo combine for like 8 for 27.
Oh God,
that's got to be worst case scenario.
people would not be able to handle it. people would, we would not handle it well coming off of back-to-back losses to Golden State and to the Kings, especially the Lakers. Now, in case you haven't heard this, 0-5 since the All-Star break against their Western Conference direct playoff competitors. I'm talking about Golden State, Sacramento, Phoenix. Those are the three teams they've played. They've played them five times in total, two against Sacramento, two against Golden State, 0-5 since the All-Star break. Not good.
Not good at all.
Not good at all. They can't figure out ways to win games. The big games, the games that count double, they can't find ways to win these games. They keep coming up short. The game against the Warriors, though, I do, and this is, it's going to sound like an excuse. I thought the game plan was working okay-ish, fairly well. Like, I was feeling fairly confident, and then AD got hurt. And I felt like once AD got hurt, that just affected, not in practice, but it really felt like the game ended when AD got hurt. Like, that ended the Lakers' real shot at getting a win there. And you could say that's their fault for not having a better backup big or whatever. Like, Jackson Hayes played his ass off, but still was not enough. But it really felt like as soon as that happened, the Warriors just went, cool, layups. And that was kind of that.
So I'm really glad that's how you kind of set me up there, Trevor. So thank you for throwing a lob, because this kind of ties into a Twitter conversation we had where you bring up the game plan or whatever. And Anthony Davis is such a big part of the Warriors, of like facing the Warriors for this Lakers team. I think he's probably the biggest reason why you beat them last year, because you were able to get Golden State to do something different, which is Golden State wants to do their off screen, their dribble handoff and their backdoor cut things. With AD out there and with a competent defense like the Lakers had last year, the Lakers were able to say, no, you can't do that. You have to go to something else. And Golden State kind of devolved into, we're just going to play ball screen game the whole time. And it worked for two games, but for the duration of a series, it's not sustainable for the Warriors, right? And that brings up the conversation like drop coverage or whatever. And we're going back and forth, not going back and forth, but having a conversation about it. And my thing is AD drop coverage, sure. Nobody else on the team, I don't think it makes sense, right? And you bring up Jackson Hayes, who I do think has played really, really well over the past few weeks. But I think there has to be some sort of disconnect in terms of personnel management from the front office and the coaching staff. Because if you are a team that wants to be a drop coverage team or a high drop, and that's kind of what the Lakers are, regardless, when we talk about drop, they're not going to be a completely sagging off Brook Lopez level of drop. Right. ADs is going to be a little bit higher. But if that's the style you want to play defensively, which is completely fine, you got to rework retool your defensive personnel to fit that. And I don't think they did that with Jackson Hayes or Christian Wood. No. Which is why in one of my other responses was, okay, if this was the idea, you should just prioritize bigs more on in the trade market.
Yes.
In free agency. Hell, even on draft night, I would have prioritized getting a big a little bit more if you were going to say, hey, we want to play drop a lot, where you go out there in free agency, and because you have to get a big, we're going to get Jackson Hayes, we're going to get Christian Wood, who are both, for the most part, at their best when they're not playing drop. So that's why the game plan just broke down into pieces once AD went out.
It makes no sense, John. It's the proverbial square peg round hole, right? You're trying to fit certain pieces into a certain role. It's almost like Darvin Ham is looking at Jackson Hayes and seeing Brook Lopez for some reason. And it's nonsensical. I don't understand it at all. It's crazy. It would be like, I don't know, it would be like in the NFL bringing Matt Ryan out of retirement and saying, we want a quarterback that's going to run a lot. Those are the schemes that we're going
to deploy.
Yeah, right? Like that's kind of what, and that's an extreme example, but still, that's kind of what we see with the Lakers defensively. And that's part of, not the entirety of it, part of the reason why they've struggled so much on the defensive end of the floor. I guess we should mention this, though. Anthony Davis, because I do think that changed the whole game against the Warriors. Is he available against the Hawks? This is the update right now. And this came out from Shams Charania last night. As those of you guys are listening to this or watching this, Shams said, Anthony Davis is questionable to play against the Hawks on Monday. Indeed, the Lakers did confirm that they officially have him listed as questionable. Davis began regaining vision late Saturday night, and his eye is believed to be feeling better. Dave McMenamin added some more context, saying it felt a little better on Saturday evening, started to get better, and it's improved even further on Sunday. And so now I'm fairly hopeful that AD will be able to play. The Lakers need to find a way to win some games. The schedule does lighten up here. I think AD is probably going to wind up giving it a go, but that's good news, because the fear was, of course, that this would turn into a multi-game absence for AD, and then it's just kind of, well, we're the 10 seed, and that's that. I still do think they have a chance to move up, but that opportunity is dwindling very quickly. They have to start stacking up some wins right now, and in order to do that, they need AD.
Yeah. Now, the good news is, even if AD does miss this night, and I mean, I guess this isn't good news, it's more glass half empty news. If he does have to miss, with this positive news coming about, he's starting to feel better, you don't play till Friday. So you would almost pencil in AD for playing Friday against Philadelphia.
Sure.
That is some glass half full news. I mean, obviously, you really, really hope AD is good to go for tomorrow or tonight's game, excuse me, against the Hawks, because I feel like where this defense is at right now, it's 80s on the floor. We're okay. If 80s not on the floor, we are just praying at this point that the other team misses.
It's so shocking how bad the Lakers are defensively when you see this. Some of that, of course, falls on the guards, falls on Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, their inability to contain. Yeah, some of it's the injuries. Some, you know, no Jared Vanderbilt, no Cam Reddish, no Gabe Vincent. Sure. Those are your guys that were expected to be defensive stoppers. Some of it is your scheme. Some of it is the things that Darvin Ham is running. Again, putting Jackson Hayes in drop coverage. Why are we giving up little floaters to Chris Paul and Clay? Like, that's exactly the shot that they love to take. And we're just going to say, here you go. We're gonna backpedal and give you this look. That was madness. But overall, AD, he's got to be in there because he is the most important piece to the defense. All the other things have set them back. Without AD, though, they're completely lost defensively. The only shot they have is in terms of getting stops. And we saw it against the Warriors. They had no way to get stops. You're just praying your opponent misses. That's really it. It's not we're going to generate a shot. It's we're just going to hope that they miss, because they're going to get an open look most of the time. AD at least gives you a chance to force a miss. They need him out there in the worst way. And then this summer, my God, the Lakers need some guys who can play some defense, and preferably some guys who can also contribute a little bit on the offensive end of the floor. Two-way players would be a nice thing for this team to get.
Yeah, I think when we talk about improvements to this roster heading into the summer, I look at roster balance, and which is kind of what you're alluding to there, Trevor. And then just like more synergy from front office to coaching staff with player personnel, and how that relates to the scheme you're going to run. Like, don't get a bunch of guys that are great at rotating off the ball, which means, hey, we can hedge more, we can switch more, get a little more aggressive, and you play like a heavy deep drop, right? It's like,
yeah,
there needs to be a connection between all three phases there. And obviously there's ways you can do that offensively too, but focusing defensively here, those are the two biggest things when we look ahead a little bit early here to the offseason.
It's madness, Sean, madness. And this is going to be addressed. We have a question in the mailbag, and in a few moments, we'll get to that. I've got some thoughts on Darvin. We'll get there. All right.
I'm excited.
D'Angelo Russell, free agency. So I talked about this recently on the YouTube channel. Adrian Wojnarowski had some comments a few days ago about D'Lo's free agency. He does have a player option, $18.7 million this summer, which means he could pick up that option. Highly doubt that he's going to. I think he's most likely going to opt out. So this was Adrian Wojnarowski before the Lakers took on the Warriors. He said that $18 million player option that D'Lo has on his contract next season, that was a huge part of the negotiations with Russell and Austin Brown, the head of basketball at CAA. Don't forget that part. When they did that two-year, $37 million deal with the Lakers last year, and it becomes an increasing point of leverage for Russell as we get closer to the offseason, especially with the tear he's on right now. 22 points a game, 44% from three, 27 game stretch where the Lakers have gone 17-10. Obviously, you can opt out of the deal, test free agency, and the Lakers could lose him for nothing. And then he mentions that even if the Lakers want to do a big trade, they need D'Angelo Russell's help. They need him to opt into the deal and agree to go to the team that can move him. So basically saying D'Angelo Russell has all the leverage. A couple points I want to make here. So first of all, the stuff that Woj just said is not wrong. And this is exactly why. And people kept saying, oh, you guys wanted to trade D'Lo. No, never said I wanted to trade D'Angelo Russell. Said his contract stipulates that you have to explore the market. You have to. If you don't, you're a moron. If you don't explore the market with D'Angelo Russell, I'm sorry. It's just a fact. If the Lakers sat back and said, oh, no, we're not going to trade D'Angelo Russell. Then you are missing out because D'Lo has all the leverage this summer. You have to explore the trade market, specifically why they negotiated out his no trade clause at the deadline this year. Now, a deal, they did explore the market. Deal didn't materialize. They didn't find something that they liked. Now the leverage all flips to D'Angelo Russell. So what Woj said there was not wrong. But remember, I said, don't forget the CAA part. Guess who's also represented by CAA? Woj. Woj is represented. This stuff matters, folks. So again, I'm not telling you Woj lied. He didn't. Everything he said was correct. And the bit about, well, now D'Angelo Russell has more interest on the market, he probably does because he's been playing well. However, I would also expect, and I'm just warning everybody, from now until free agency, expect to hear a lot of pro D'Angelo Russell things out of Adrian Wojnarowski. Why? He shares an agency with D'Angelo Russell. It tends to matter. And again, that doesn't mean any of it's wrong, but I think you're going to hear it brought up as a talking point quite a bit because it benefits D'Lo, it benefits the agency. If it's out there that, hey, this guy's in high demand, are there teams that are going to want him? Sure. But it also doesn't hurt to play that up a bit and have the Lakers thinking, damn, everybody wants this guy. We'd better really pony up the cash because we can't afford to lose this guy for nothing, or even just generate more interest around the NBA. So again, nothing was wrong there, but just sometimes the game within the game, you got to keep in mind some of those connections. And I'm just telling you right now, expect to see a lot of pro D'Lo mentions coming from Woj about what his free agent market is going to look like. It's been twice in the last week that he's brought it up. Expect that to keep coming.
Yeah, this just kind of confirms what we already thought about D'Angelo Russell a few weeks back, that he's opting out. And I mean, yeah, it makes sense. And why wouldn't he, quite frankly, right? He plays well. He's been playing well. Has a good playoff run. I think he's gone. Now, one thing I did talk about on the post game show the other night, Trevor, was how you talk about D'Lo having leverage. And this kind of ties into the Dave McMenamin article about D'Angelo Russell and his kind of relationship with Darvin Ham a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this was a message I got on Twitter in my mentions a few days ago. If it comes to a point this summer where Lakers are like, D'Lo, we want you back. Here's the amount of salary you want. We want you to be a Laker long term. If D'Lo goes, okay, I don't want to play for that coach. That is a realistic possibility to where, like, you talk about leverage. That's an added part to that too, because then that puts more pressure on the front office to be like, okay, now we have D'Lo back, but we don't. I mean, as long as we take care of the coach and we don't want to lose mm-hmm. the asset. And even if you re-sign him, okay, cool. Now you can maybe use him in a trade and make it a sign a trade even, but I don't know. I just think D'Lo does have a lot of the leverage, if not all of the leverage here with the situation. And like you said, keep just, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Some of the stuff that Woj says going for, because like you said, he wants to make it more positive for the agency.
Sure. Absolutely. And that's just, you know, reading between the lines with what's being said and who is saying what's being said and who benefits from the things that are being said. Keep all those things in mind. Now, the same thing is also true, though, that things could flip again. And I hope they don't, honestly. I hope mm-hmm. they don't, because last year, the way things flipped was D'Lo fell flat on his face in the Western Conference Finals. And yeah. suddenly the guy who at what we were having this conversation last year, Sean, about, oh my gosh, how much is it going to cost the Lakers to keep D'Lo? They got to pay it. They got to hang on to this guy, all of that, right? We had that conversation. And then suddenly he gets destroyed in the Western Conference Finals, has to get benched. And I don't blame Darvin for that. And his market wasn't what he thought it was going to be. What's that?
D'Lo blames Darvin.
D'Lo blames Darvin. Yeah, D'Lo does. Well, D'Lo blames him for not communicating with him, which if Darvin really did that, just said, hey, D'Lo, you're on the bench and I'm not going to bother having the conversation with you. Okay. Like that's not good coaching. That's poor communication there. Now, I'll also say D'Lo is an adult. If you've got a problem, go talk to him. Oh, well, he's friends with Dennis Schroeder, so I can't have that conversation. Be a grown up. Go sit down and say, hey, I noticed I'm getting put on the bench.
The article was weird. article was super weird to me.
It was. But I think you're right that D'Lo does have some leverage here. I don't know that D'Angelo Russell alone, if Jeannie and Rob Pelinka are hell-bent on keeping Darvin, which they shouldn't be. It shouldn't take D'Angelo Russell saying me or him for them to go, maybe we need to make a move here. That should already be happening. But if they are, for whatever reason, hell-bent on keeping him, I think it would take LeBron saying that more than D'Lo, right?
Oh, if LeBron said today, yeah, I'm back as a Laker as long as, you know, something shakes with the coaching situation, Darvin will be fired tomorrow.
That's what I think it would take. And we'll see how that plays out. Again, I'll have some thoughts on that in just a moment. But all right, let's talk a little bit about this matchup tonight. Lakers-Hawks, as of right now, just checking back in, the Hawks, I'm not going to pull for the Clippers. I would like the Clippers to get this a little closer here. The Hawks right now, as we're recording this, there's about 7 minutes left in the game, and they're up by 20. I would like DeJounte Murray and co. to have to play longer. They're shooting, again, 53% from three now. They've held steady. Murray has 19 points and 8 assists at this point in the game. Oh, I hope that doesn't happen tomorrow. But this matchup, the Hawks are not a great team. They're 29-37 on the season. Yes, they're having a hot night right now against the Clippers, which, I mean, you love to see the Clippers losing. But what do the Lakers need to do to win this game against the Hawks, to right the ship? They're getting into the easier stretch of the season. What are the keys for this game, Sean?
They got to do a good job of rebounding. I feel like that's always a big key with this Lakers team. But the Hawks in the past 15 games are the sixth best offensive rebounding team in the league. And the Lakers, at one point, they were actually a good defensive rebounding team, even though they were never really a good offensive rebounding team. The Lakers now, however, in the past 15 games are 22nd in defensive rebounding percentage. So you got to be able to win the war on the glass tomorrow night against this Hawks team. And can you try to force them into some turnovers? Like, see if you can, you know, force DeJounte and some of these other guys to cough up the ball. But at the end of the day, I think it's still going to come down to what team can get some stops. Trevor, the Lakers last 15 games, they're second in offensive rating. Never thought we'd see that day.
They've gone that high now? Second? Good Lord.
Past 15 games. The only team that's ahead of them is the team in green. The team in green's net rating is a plus 19.3, which is insane.
Somebody stop these guys. Sean, let's pause right there for a moment.
Okay.
When I hear their second in offensive rating over the past 15 games, honestly, that makes me more frustrated, because that tells you how well they're playing on the offensive side of the ball. And if they were anywhere close to a reasonable, respectable defense, we would be off and running. We would be off and running right now if they were anywhere close. We would be getting fired up for a playoff run because they'd be winning games. How bad is it? How bad's the defensive rating now? I haven't looked in a few days. How bad is it over the last 15?
I kind of don't want to look. Lakers defensive rating, they have the third worst defense in the past 15 games. The only two teams with the worst defense are the Washington Wizards and the Utah Jazz, who, by the way, those two teams have
not trying to win.
in a combined 30 games, those two teams have won 5 games. So if you combine their two. Now, also, just to make matters even worse, I apologize. The gap between the Lakers at third worst and the team that's at fourth worst is a whole point and a half, almost.
That's a big gap in defensive rating.
So, for the people that don't want to hear math talk, the Lakers suck on defense. Which, even if you go back to like November and December, Trevor, the Lakers in defensive rating in the month of November, 13th. If you go in the month of December, the Lakers in defensive rating, they were 7th in defensive rating in December.
And that was how they won the in-season tournament, was by locking down on defense.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then it just gets progressively worse. January, the Lakers, 23rd in defensive rating in January. February, defensive rating, the Lakers, 19th. So technically got better in February. But yeah.
Okay. But so, like, Jared Vanderbilt was back in December, but he wasn't really back. He wasn't at the height of his powers in December. We saw that right before he got hurt. He really got, you know, all the way back. Now, they did sell out on defense to the detriment of their offense at one point when Darvin Ham lost his mind and decided guards don't exist anymore, and I'm just going to play wings.
I am so excited for the Darvin segment now. Like, I don't even care about this conversation anymore.
Like, so they went all in on defense in December. So it makes sense that the defense was a bit better in December because they completely punted on shooting and everything else just to get defense out there. But the personnel, like, we're talking like Cam Reddish and Jared Vanderbilt, those are good defensive players. But has it changed that much with 70% Jared Vanderbilt gone and Cam Reddish kind of in and out of the rotation? Have things really changed that much just with those two guys out that the Lakers can't even be? I mean, could they be 20th? 16th, maybe 17th, something like that. That's what we're asking for. That's what we're asking for. That doesn't seem unreasonable. So what the hell? Why is it so drastic of a drop off? Because I don't think that Vando and Reddish being out, while they are positives on the defensive side of the ball, I don't think that fully explains this big of a drop.
All right, so hear me out. And I don't think I'm rather curious how this is gonna get, you know, reacted to. So, folks, let me know in the comments down below what's your thoughts on this. Am I completely off base? Am I losing my mind or whatever? So let me know. I think an underrated miss for this team's defense that we haven't seen in quite some time is actually Christian Wood. I think that's a super underrated miss. The reason why is because it allows you to play bigger. Christian Wood on this team, if you look at individual defensive rebounding percentage, Christian Wood is second on the team. The only person that's a higher defensive rebounding percentage on the team is Anthony Davis, which, shocker, we all probably could have seen that one coming, right?
And we've seen the number of offensive rebounds they've given up lately, and that's been a killer. So, okay, I'm with you.
And also, Christian Wood, if I do not want to post bail for Darvin whatsoever, right? But if you are going to mix things up a little bit more defensively, right? You are going to switch more and hedge more, whatever. Christian Wood is legit, especially lines where he's like next to Bron and Rui, or he's next to AD even. He's a legitimate good helper off the ball where he can rotate enough and protect the rim, and it allows the other guys to maybe press up a little bit more and get a little bit more aggressive. So I think Vando, you're always down, Vando, right? Cam's been in and out. You've been down Gabe the entire year, right? But I think losing Christian Wood has been kind of a bit more of an underrated loss that I think we're kind of giving it credit for. Okay. So I mean, I don't want to post the team any bail. They've been bad defensively, even with them here. But again, you're going from 28th to maybe you can get that 20th best defense or whatever.
If you're the you're not winning a championship if you're the 20th best defense and the second best offense,
historically,
but you're going to the playoffs.
Yeah. And historically speaking, that doesn't happen ever.
No, but you're going to the playoffs. You're punching your ticket, right? If that's what you are. So that's why that's particularly frustrating, because it's their defense that is costing them games and preventing them from making any kind of a run and is sapping the spirit of Lakers fans right now.
And this is definitely going to get some eyebrow raises in the comments. But if you go back to the one outlier or anomaly in the past three decades or so of teams that historically speaking, last three decades, you need to have a top 12 defense, to win a championship. The one outlier, if I recall correctly, outside of Denver last year. So there's two outliers. It's Denver last year.
It was Denver last year. Okay.
All right, Denver last year that had the best player on the planet. Mm-hmm. And also they stopped caring about basketball for the last month and a half of the year. I think we all know that as well. The other one outlier, and I apologize for the year. Somebody fact check me in the comments. It's the third year of the three-peat with Kobe and Shaq. The year they were dealing with all the injuries, and when they got healthy finally, we were like, oh, okay, yeah, this team is really good defensively, but their season-long numbers don't reflect that. But you go to the playoffs, you look at the stretch where they were healthy, they're really freaking good defensively. That's the one
You're
other
talking about the 02 Lakers, the Nets finals Lakers?
Yes.
Okay.
That sounds right.
That's interesting.
But I don't know. That could be some optimism, depending on how you look at it. It's like, oh, well, the 1 week where the Lakers were healthy this year, they were pretty good defensively. Maybe that's, I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching there.
They need to figure if it's Christian Wood, it's the offensive glass is killing them, because that tends to lead to open threes, which is just, it's death in today's NBA, giving up open threes. And we can talk about their scheme. You know what's funny is I actually see a lot of Suns fans that are complaining about Frank Vogel's schemes giving up open threes. I think part of it is NBA offenses are built to create open threes now. So that's what they're gunning for. And whenever we see an open three, it stands out like a sore thumb. But regardless, the Lakers do give up more, certainly, than they should. Their defense has been bad. It's the offensive rebounds. It's also the inability to contain drives from the perimeter. Guys are getting into the paint, kicking out, finding those open threes, or they're scoring in the paint. Their transition defense, despite not crashing their own offensive glass, in exchange, they're trying to get back and preventing transition attacks from their opponents. It's not working. They're still getting lit up in transition. So there's a lot wrong with this team's defense right now. And all of this is a roundabout way to say they've got to start fixing that tonight against the Hawks. They have to. You might beat the Hawks without fixing your defense, but you're not making anywhere near the kind of run that you want to make. So these next, whatever it is, 14 games or so that you've got left, that has to be the number one priority. It's figuring out, and maybe it's just guys getting healthy, what do you need to do to become a better defensive team? Because your stay in the postseason, I don't think they're going to fall out of the 10 seed. I think that's their floor right now. Yeah. But it doesn't matter if you finish 10, 9, 8, 7. That doesn't matter if you don't fix the defense, because you won't survive. You probably aren't surviving the play-in if you don't fix the defense.
So I really quickly fact-checked myself. The year is actually 2000-2001, so the second year of the three-peat. And this was the year where Derek Fisher didn't play till March.
That's right. And that was the year of where they just tore through the playoffs and then unfortunately lost game one of the finals to disrupt what would have been a perfect playoff run.
Perfect.
That team was amazing. That team was amazing. Okay. Let's get into some of our super chats here, our mailbag questions. And the first one said, Irwin said, "Hi, Trevor. In your hamstrung section yesterday, I did a podcast on one of the segments. This was the one Sean was going to be on, but he got a little sleepy. One of the segments was titled Hamstrung, and so I talked a little bit about Darvin Ham. He said, I honestly couldn't figure out your opinion on Darvin Ham. Do you think he should continue to be the coach for next season, or should he be replaced? So there's a lot going on with Darvin Ham. I talked a bit about some of the issues with him, you know, what he's supposed to be as a coach. He's supposed to be that guy that just that guy that you want to run through a brick wall for. And he doesn't really provide that, right? He hasn't really provided that. You haven't seen the guys really buy in. And we already knew he's probably not a great X's and O's coach. So what are you getting if you're not getting guys wanting to follow him, wanting to run through a brick wall for him? So the bottom line is, if it were up to me, yeah, he's gone. Like if that were my decision to make, because I don't think the Lakers look very bought in. And I think the silence, when articles come out criticizing Darvin, the silence from the players is deafening. Yeah. You're not hearing the players stand up for him. You're not hearing the players saying, I love playing for him, because they'd be saying that stuff. Like, you could say, well, reporters need to ask those questions. No, they would go out of their way to make those statements, and you're not hearing that stuff right now. Now, maybe in the future we will, but at this moment, doesn't seem like the guys are really bought into whatever Darvin Ham is selling. I think he's a good guy, but if I'm making the call, and it's not my money to spend, but if I'm making the call, I'm saying, man, I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to pay the next 2 years of his salary, and he's either going to go coach somewhere else, or he's going to go home and he's going to chill out for a couple years and get a paid vacation, and I'm going to bring somebody else in because this isn't working. And honestly, I think if you want LeBron to stay, I think you probably need to make a move, because I don't think LeBron's all that bought in to what Darvin is selling right now.
Poor Darvin. Trevor hit him with the he's a really, really good guy.
He's a good guy.
He's such a good guy. He hit him with that speech.
He's got a great personality, right?
Great guy and all, but you know,
I don't wish any ill will on Darvin, right? I don't. And I don't think this is
the bar set think, real low.
I don't want bad things to happen to him.
I hope the guy doesn't get hit by a car, but I don't want him to be a Lakers coach. Great job, Trent.
That is not what I mean. I mean, I'm not, I have no ill will towards him, right? I don't want him to be out of a job or anything like that. And it's nice that he can get paid for 2 years and not have to do anything, right? Based on his contract. But yeah, I think you need to replace him. And unfortunately, I think the Lakers multiple times now have thought, we found our guy, and then it didn't work out. I'm talking Luke Walton. I'm talking now Darvin Ham. They thought, this is going to be our long-term coach. It has not worked. Frank Vogel, they went, okay, we found a guy. And then it won a championship. So they went, okay, I guess we'll let this guy stay for a little bit longer. I don't think all the problems.
And then we're going to scapegoat him and run him out of town.
Then we're going to scapegoat him for our terrible Russell Westbrook trade. I don't think all the problems the Lakers have are Darvin's fault. I think he's part of it, but yeah. I don't think it's all. You don't solve everything that ails the Lakers just by replacing Darvin Ham, but I think it's a necessary move.
So, question, do you have any targets on your mind right now? I have three in particular.
You know, and right. I know you're three, and they're all first-year head coaches. And that's my thought is, the Lakers have gone with two first-year head coaches out of their last three. Right, they went with Luke, they went with Darvin, and neither one of them worked out. I do wonder if they make it a prerequisite that somebody has NBA head coaching experience, or at the very least, and this is, they should have done this before, that they have people on their bench that have NBA head coaching experience. That should be the bare minimum. But I do wonder if they're going to require NBA head coaching experience, which then kind of leads you to some of the retreads. We get to, like, you know, Terry Stotts, we get to Coach Bud, you know, like, that's, you know, yeah, that those are the kind of guys that you wind up looking at.
If you were going to go retread, right, and I want to get the name right, I was talking to, yeah. I was actually texting our guy Sky about this the other day. Yeah. If you're going to go retread, an underrated name would be James Borrego, who's currently in New Orleans, if I remember correctly. Super fun offensive guy that, for some dumb reason, Charlotte ran him out of town after he gave him one of the more successful seasons in recent memory. Like I said, I think he actually is the offensive coordinator in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Again, I have to fact check that. But offensive coordinator in air quotes, because that's the one thing I hate about the NBA comparison to the NFL. It's so much freaking harder to find out what an assistant coach does in the NBA, whereas in the NFL, you can go, oh, he's the offensive coordinator, he's the running backs coach, or et cetera. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into a tangent about that, but sure. that's an underrated name if you were to go retread option.
Yeah, and he is in New Orleans coaching under Willie Green right now. Maybe that's an option for you. But again, like, I think Lakers fans want to hear
Kenny Atkinson.
We're going to get a time machine and we're going to get Phil Jackson from 20 years ago. Or, you know, like that's what people want to hear.
We're going to get a time machine and go back and just give Tyronn Lue the 5-year deal and give Tyronn Lue the ability to pick his own staff, which is asinine that they didn't do that. Oh,
like,
man.
That's standard. Like, that's normal. I mean, that's like the equivalent of you go at like an NBA head coach being able to pick their staff. It would be the equivalent of average Joes going into any random job interview, right? And having the company say, and we're going to give you lunch breaks. No kidding. You're going to give lunch. Everybody
better give my break.
Right? Everybody gives lunch breaks. The Lakers essentially sat NBA caliber head coaches down and said, we're not giving you standard lunch breaks. What everybody gets at every job across the NBA, that's what we're not giving you. That's where the Lakers decided to draw the line, which is crazy. And that's part of what cost him Ty Lue. The other part was not wanting to give him enough years. So frustrating. Frustrating why they didn't just do that. But that's the other piece. Hopefully the Lakers don't do that type of thing if they go into a coaching search again, like where they want too much control. I'd be okay with the Lakers saying, hey, pick your coaching staff, especially if it's a first-year head coach, pick your own staff. We just ask that you have one person who has NBA head coaching experience on the bench with you. I'd be okay with that. But saying we're going to pick them for you, that it's too far.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. D Forever said, sorry, Lane, can't guard the Splash Brothers. Yeah, I mean, Clay went nuts against the Lakers. Unfortunately, he had a crazy throwback shooting night. The Lakers really struggled chasing around screens and getting to him, and same thing with Steph. Drew said, how long will the show stay in this Braun era purgatory of mediocrity? Lakers fans want to be free. I've seen some of that, thinking that it's LeBron that's holding the Lakers back. Like, somehow the Lakers are being held captive by LeBron, and if they could just move on from him, the skies would part and it would be smooth sailing ahead. No, LeBron leaving means you're going into a rebuild. And we've been there. And those were dark days. Remember the days of praying that Lonzo Ball would be the guy? Praying that Brandon Ingram would become a 1A star, right? Like, that's hoping.
He's pretty close.
Hoping that LaMarcus, he's getting there, right? But hoping that LaMarcus Aldridge would take a beating and then take a second meeting because you screwed up the first one, right? Like, that was the rebuild years. I get when we're in this moment feeling like, oh my gosh, this is awful. This is terrible. This is horrible. And anything else will be better. Just change it now. And I can also think you can make an argument for people who really enjoyed watching the kids grow and all that stuff. Like, that's fine. But the grass isn't always greener. Because I'll tell you what, when we're in the thick of it and the Lakers in a rebuild, the conversation's all going to be about how do we get another star.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you're not the Pelicans. And that's no shade intended to them. Well, maybe it is a little bit. But, like, even when you're rebuilding as the Lakers, as the Warriors eventually, as the Knicks, like, when you're rebuilding as one of those teams, oh my gosh, do we remember how bad the Knicks were for all those years? Recently, in every single year, it wasn't, oh man, just develop the young guys. It was, no, when's the next star coming? Right. And that's just how it is. So even if we're trying to speed up the process to get to a rebuild, it's just to eventually get to the next star. And they can be perceived in a couple of different ways, but we're not going to get to all that. But that's just the land of the Lakers.
Yeah, that is. All right, let's get to this. Joseph said, Bron, we're about to give the Warriors a 39-second shot clock. God, that was insane.
I saw the possession on Twitter, like the full one for the first time, and they legit guarded for 35 seconds.
Yeah, and then and Spencer Dinwiddie on that possession was trying to tell the referees what was going on, and they didn't stop the game. They didn't look at it. And then afterwards, the referees just admitted, like, oh, yeah, we blew it. We would have to have noticed that, and we didn't. I'll tell you this. You know what? I already spent the postgame show ranting and raving about how horrible that game was in terms of not because the Lakers lost. That obviously that was bad, but how bad of a look that was for the NBA in a nationally televised game between two marquee franchises.
Yep.
Awful. Awful for the NBA to have that game go down the way that it did. The NBA review system is broken. It is absolutely broken. It's nonsensical. Our own editor extraordinaire, Daniel Starkan, brought up the point. What would have happened? Because this was late in the game. What if this was a close game and the flow of the game was such that neither team took a timeout and the ball never went out of bounds? What would have happened that now? Obviously, that's a rarity, but what would have happened? Let's say the Lakers won by two and the final 2 minutes, there were no stoppages in play. Then what? The game's over and you're going to go back and look at that 3-point shot then? That the review system is a mess. What can get reviewed? What can't get reviewed? Draymond Green travels in front of the referee. We can all see it on the replay, but oh, that's not reviewable. But a three, whether or not his heel touched the line, that's reviewable. Yeah. But then you can't review a 35 second, whatever it was, possession because the shot clock malfunctioned. It makes no sense. At this point, just scrap the whole thing and let's just live with whatever happens live on the court and be done with it, because we've descended into madness with the review system in the NBA.
Yeah. I also had a big rant about it. We're not going to go to another one of those.
Well, I was heated. It was off. As an NBA fan, it was frustrating. Okay. To continue on this question or this comment, said, deem your foot out of bounds for an amazing shot, then take it away. Stop the game for 11 minutes. And then you're going to have 15 seconds less to operate at the end. Got it. It was a disaster. D Forever said, I know what you can do. You can give up. Can't beat Golden State Warriors. Really? They're 1-2 against them on the season and knocked them out of the playoffs last year. I appreciate the $5, though. Appreciate the super chat there. But can't beat good. Like, I get it if you were a Nuggets fan or something coming in, like, hey, or the Kings, you guys have bragging rights. There's no question. You've got the Lakers number, but it was less than a year ago that the Lakers sent the Warriors home. That's pretty crazy.
Ended the dynasty.
Right? Chris said Kobe played through torn ligaments and broken bones. I see this a lot about AD should have played, right? His eye was swollen shut.
He couldn't see. Like, he physically could not see.
And think about this. Not only do you have the injury, right? So you can only see like part of the court, but also your depth perception has got. What do you want him to do? You'd have no depth perception. Like that would be very problematic for Anthony Davis to be out there on the floor. So I get people will say, oh, you know, rub some dirt on it or whatever. Get out there and, you know, walk it off. But
can't walk off if you can't see.
The man's eye was swollen shut. I mean, I don't see how he could have just toughed it out and played. I do wonder if he plays tonight, do we see goggles for AD?
I would imagine. Goggles AD?
Kareem Abdul-Davis?
There we go.
I got to come up with a better one. Voice of Reason. Have we seen him talk passionately to players? And do the players listen? I don't know. I'm sure he has. He's talked about some, you know, some exchanges they had. That article from Dave McMenamin mentioned things getting a little bit, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not using the right word here, but a little heated in a conversation they were having about Darvin wanting them to play harder and D'Lo wanting the scheme to be better.
Passionate.
And, that passionate. Yeah. So I don't know. Has Darvin talked passionately? I'm sure he has. I'm sure he's not just sitting there saying nothing. Do you see it? Do you see the players all huddled around Darvin and him giving that cinematic, you know, movie speech? The Kurt Russell? Tonight we skate with them. Tonight we shut them down because we can. I don't know if you've seen that movie, Miracle. It's a great movie. But we haven't seen that from Darvin Ham. We've seen him be pretty reserved. Mm-hmm. And I think fans are wanting to see that. The players huddled around, locked in, Darvin Ham inspiring, that type of thing. Maybe he's doing it in the locker room. If he is, it's definitely not working because they come out of halftime horribly most nights. But it's not something we see publicly.
Especially if you're supposed to be this rah-rah motivational guy anyway, like players, coach, that everybody likes to play for. Like, if that's like a part of your thing, then yeah, I think people will want to see that a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Mamadou said, I'm assuming this was a master lock. Master lock, the Lakers shooting. The shooting hasn't been bad. The shooting's been okay. The problem was their inability to get stops. I mean, we saw it in that Warriors game. They could not. As soon as the Warriors went up 10, you just kind of went, oh, well, they're done. Then. Like, because they can't get enough stops. You, in order to work your way back into a game, you can't just trade baskets. All you're doing is treading water at that point. You have to get stops. And the Lakers were not able to without Anthony Davis on the floor.
Yeah. Sucks where we're at right now with this Lakers defense. Couldn't have imagined such a flip-flop.
Right? It's so weird. By the way, final score, the Hawks win 110-93 against the Clippers. So nice to see the Clippers lose. DeJounte Murray played 34 minutes, 29 for Bogdanovich, 36 for Jalen Johnson. So they at least have a log. He is. He put up 18 points, 12 boards, 6 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks.
I love Jalen Johnson. I'm a Jalen Johnson mark, man. I love his game.
Stuff in the stat sheet. Man. But the Hawks shot, they finished the game shooting 50% from deep. So hopefully there's some regression coming tonight. Hope so.
Hopefully.
So the Lakers, they've got the Hawks tonight. And let's take a look at this. So this is, and they did lose the last time they played the Hawks. But this is the Lakers' next stretch of games here. Atlanta at home. Then that's Atlanta at home Monday night. Don't play again till Friday night against Philly. That's at home. No Joel Embiid. Then Sunday at home against Indiana. Then you go on the road. And you go on a road trip. It's Milwaukee, Memphis, Indiana again, Brooklyn, Toronto, Washington. So we're talking, that's 9 games. How many wins in those 9 between the 3 remaining games in the homestand and then a 9-game road trip that sees you play Memphis, Indiana, Brooklyn, Toronto, Washington, in addition to Milwaukee?
If you want to be a serious team and want to inspire any hopes of a late miraculous miracle of a late season run, you need 7 wins.
7 of them. I agree. Bucks game, maybe you drop, and then you can afford to drop one more, maybe.
Like one of the Indiana games.
Right, yeah.
But like, you lose to Toronto or Memphis, I'm going to lose it.
Oh, yeah. You can't.
Memphis is getting a little bit healthier, actually. They just got Desmond Bane back. But still, they are both really bad teams.
Yeah, you absolutely can't do that. You have to take advantage. Look, they've had a really difficult schedule over the last few weeks. This is where they have to say thank you and start stacking up some wins.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right. Lakers Nation, give us your thoughts in the comment section over on YouTube. Podcast listeners, you give us that 5-star rating and review over on Apple Podcasts. Game tonight, Lakers Hawks. Come join us over on Playback, playback.tv/Lakers Nation, as well as the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, youtube.com/Lakers Nation. Here we go again, Sean. Let's hope this time, let's get that win. Till next time, everybody. See ya and stay safe.